Here we go, guys. The Rashi's and Vayichi are, there's just a huge amount, especially the brachos. I'll just pick out highlights, and then we'll have time also for the hefsid. Okay, so it says Vayichi Yaakov. So the parsha is stuma. What does that mean? Normally, there's a paragraph space between parshios. Here, there's not. Just a regular one-letter space. Like there's no break from Vayichi to Vayigash. Why? So Rashi says, "Kevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, nistbo einechem v'libam shei Yisrael, mitzaras hashibud." The shibud began. The tzaras began. Now we know that Rashi says later that the shibud didn't really start until Levi died. So what Rashi means here is that it was the beginning. It wasn't a heavy shibud. Things began going downhill. So once Yaakov died, that was things began to go downhill, and that's merumas in the fact that there's no special break between the parshios. Yaakov calls Yosef and says, "Yosef, do for me chesed v'emes." The world famous Rashi in Pasuk Kaf Tes. World famous Rashi, chesed v'emes. Look at Rashi, chesed shosim imamesim, hu chesed shalemes, sheinu mitzap l'tashlum gmul. A chesed that a person does with a dead person is called a chesed shalemes, because you're not getting anything back. When you do chesed for your regular friend, you sort of hope that he'll give you something back down the line. But with a dead person, you're not getting anything back. So that's called a chesed shalemes. It's the ultimate chesed. You're doing it, lishma, just because you want to do chesed. So that's what Rashi quotes here. That's what Yaakov says, chesed v'emes. That's an important idea. That in Yadus, we give a lot of cover to living people, and we give cover to dead people too. Because we have that's part of our cover for living people, is that we treat them properly when they die as well. Okay, then it says here, Vayishtachu Yisrael Arosh Hamita. It says, the Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Yaakov was bowing down on top of the Mita. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi says, "Hafachat smo litzad hashchina, mikanam shehashchina lemayla mirashoshev shalchola." That he turned himself towards the Shechina. From here we see that the Gemara says this. From here we see, says the quote of the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Yud Beis, that the Shechina is on top of the head of a chola. So when you come to when you mevaka cholim, so part of birka cholim is to say a tefillah, that the person should get better. That's time you should know. And part of that is that the Shechina is there. So there's an opportune time to say a tefillah, because if somebody's sick, the Shechina is hovering over the bed. That's what we see from this Rashi. And that's part of the reason why it's good to say a tefillah when you visit someone who is not well, to give them to say that tefillah. Okay, let's continue. Okay. A world famous Rashi that the Rosh Hashiva referred to when we visited Kev Aruchim in Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Zion. So Yaakov is talking to Yosef and talking to the brothers. They're talking to Yosef. So he mentions here where he buried Rachel. So he says, "Meisalai Rachel be'eretz Kanan b'derech ba'ot kibas eretz lovo efrasa be'ekber Hashem." He buried her there. So look in Rashi be'ekber Hashem. He said, "Yadati." It says, Yaakov buried Rachel in Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't in the middle of the city. It was on the side. "Yadati sheish blib cholai." There are hard feelings you have against me. "Abadalecha shall pi hadibur kvarti Hashem." I buried Rachel there on purpose, where she wasn't in the middle of the inhabited part, like on the edge of the city. Why? "Shete leezra levoneha kishe yigalo sam nevu zardan vayu ovdim derech sham yotzeis Rachel al kivra ubocha umakesh dolem rachamim shenemar kol brama nishma," etc.
So
She wanted, Yaakov wanted Rachel to be on the derech, so when they're going into Galus, she'll come out and daven for us. And she did. And the tefillah helped. I said, yes, I'll bring them back from Galus. So, it was because, what all the Rashis on this parsha show is that Nevuah was just a part of their life. Everything was being done for the long-term future of everything is based on the long-term future of Jewish history. Every word, every action they were doing, every word they were saying, all the tefillos and all, it's all part of this long-term Nevuah. That's what it's all about. So Yaakov buried Rachel in a place where she'd later on be in a place to give chizuk to the Jews going into Galus. And that's Rachel's special midah, that Hashem listens to her tefillos. You know, even more than the other. That's what Avina quoted at the in case. So that's the Rashi. This is it. But this is where Rashi says it. Akbar Hashem, that Rachel davened for us when we went into Galus, and Hashem listened to the tefillas that we'd come back out of Galus. Well, again, next pasuk ches. Again, living with Nevuah. Bayar Yisrael is bnei Yosef. Bikesh levarchan mistalcha shchina mimenu. Yaakov lost the shchina suddenly. Why? Again, it's all Nevuahs. It's all Nevuahs. Yaakov's about to bless Menashe and Ephraim, and then he feels, they'll have some Rishayim coming out of them. So he lost his special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of that connection with Rishis. He had that Nevuah. Again, we have to get a sense of, these are historical moments happening here. It's not time Yaakov's giving a bracha to his grandkids. Yaakov's giving a bracha that's going to have impact for generations and generations and thousands of years. Everything that Yaakov was doing here was part of this huge, broad master plan. Okay. So, Pasuk Yates. So, you have Menashe and Ephraim. So, Menashe is older, but Yaakov, you know, gives Ephraim the more chashuv status. The more chashuv status. So, what does the Pasuk say in Pasuk Yates? Yadati v'ni Yadati. V'ulam achiv hakaton yigdal mimenu. Ephraim's going to be greater than Menashe. The younger son greater than. What does it mean greater than Menashe? So Rashi tells you what Yaakov's referring to. He says Menashe is going to have Gidon come from him, and Hashem will do miracles through Gidon. But Ephraim, who's coming? Who's going to come from Ephraim? What does Rashi say? Yoshua. Shasad Yoshua letzeis mimenu sheyanchu l'saaretz, and this is an important line of Rashi. V'yilame Torah liYisrael. Rashi emphasizes. A lot of times we view Yeshua as like the military leader leading us in. Yeshua was also the Torah leader, the Masorah from Moshe to Yeshua. So when Rashi says that when the Torah says Ephraim's going to be greater than Menashe, that means Ephraim's descendants will do greater things for Am Yisrael than Menashe's descendants. Again, every word that Yaakov is saying is based on Nevuah and history. You got it? Okay. It's good. Keep on following along. Okay, I'm just picking out there thousands and thousands of Rashi's here. Next. So now Yaakov starts the brachos. So he talks to Reuven, and he says, Pachaz kamayim, pasuk dalet. You were hasty like water. When you pour water, it runs really quickly. So Yaakov here is giving Musar to Reuven. It's important Musar. Pachaz va'abahola, haste and confusion, asher miharta. You were in a rush. When did Reuven act hastily? Mala pachas ki alisa mishkavei avicha oz chilalta ososhal al yitzui shchina shayadarko lios ola al yitzui. That the way Chazal understand, Reuven moved the bed from one tent to the other, and that was a lack of kavod to his father, and it was a mistake to do that. Yaakov's angry about it. So Reuven acted hastily. So Yaakov's giving him Musar. Reuven, that midah of yours of haste, well, you overdid it there, and you have to be. And he's giving him Musar here as he's about to die. He's giving the Musar. Pachas kamayim. Okay, so that's a famous Rashi, that Reuven acted too quickly when he moved the bed. He should have thought about it more. Oh. Next. When he's talking about Shimon and Levi, Pasuk Zion, Arur Apam. He curses their Apam. They are too angry. So there's an important Rashi here in Pasuk Zayin. Or Apam, look in Rashi, the first Rashi in Zayin. Afilu b'shas tochacha lo kilel ela apam. Even when Yaakov is angry, he's not cursing their essence. He's cursing that midah which they shouldn't have. There's a big yesod. Shimon and Levi were tzaddikim. They were tremendous. All the shvatim were tzaddikim. But Yaakov saying, this midah they have was a midah they have to be careful of, you have to change. That's a famous Rashi. That even when he's angry, he doesn't curse them. He curses only their anger. Their apam. All right. Oh, then Rashi refers to the famous Yesod of Yisachar and Zvulun. Moshe says this explicitly later on in Zos HaBracha. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha v'Yisachar b'yohalecha. That Zvulun's going to make the money and support Yisachar to learn. But Rashi points out, already it's happening here. Look in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Zvulun l'chof yamim yishkon v'hul l'chof anios b'yachasah al tzidon. Zvulun's going to be near the chof, near the seashore. They'll be involved in business. So Rashi here says, already here, we see, again, this is very exciting. It's not that, it's all one continuum. The brachas Moshe said are linked up to the brachas that Yaakov say. So Moshe said Yisachar Zvulun explicitly, but Yaakov already hinted to the Yisachar Zvulun partnership. Look in Rashi. Pasuk Yud Gimel l'chof yamim. He says he's going to have a lot of ships and make money. Anios mevil sham prakamtia, merchandise, making parnasa. Shayuzvugun osek prakamtia, umamsi mazan l'shevet Yisachar. Already from the time of Yaakov, this was in the bracha. Every word they said was foreshadowing thousands of years. Vemoskim b'torah. And husha amar Moshe, smachsum v'tesecha v'yisachar b'yawalecha. Zvulun goes out to prakamtia, and Yisachar is in the tents. There's a famous, we said it back then in Zos HaBracha. The pasuk says, Zvulun, be happy when you go out, and Yisachar is in your tents. Whose tents? Whose tents? Zvulun's tents. That it's viewed as if it's Zvulun's tents because they're supporting them. But, and then Rashi continues this theme in Pasuk Yedalit, and this applies to our reading Mitzah. Look in Pasuk Yedalit. Yisachar, it says, Chamor Garem. He's like a strong donkey. Look in Rashi. Chamor Balatzamos. Sovel Ol Torah. Kachamor Chazak. Shematina So Masui Kaved. You want to succeed in learning? You got to work hard. You have to bear the burden of Torah. It takes work. It takes chazara. It takes effort. And just like you're carrying a heavy load. It's the greatest feeling in the world. And so Rashi interprets Yisachar Chamor is a hemsheikh of the Yisachar Zvulun partnership. That's a reference to the Ol of Torah. Okay. We're not doing all of it here. But in the Bracha to Binyamin, it says V'le'erev Yichalek Shalal, Pasuk Kav Zayin. So Rashi says that's a reference to Mordechai and Esther. To Nevuah, to Mordechai and Esther defeating Haman and taking Haman's property. That's Rashi in Pasuk Kav Zayin. That's already in the Nevuah of Yaakov to his to the sons. Now, there's an important Rashi here. Some of the sons Yaakov didn't really give a bracha to. He was giving them Musar, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Rashi says, although Yaakov did give Musar, he did give all the brothers a bracha. He gave them all a bracha in general, and then he gave some of the Musar too. That's Rashi in Beiracho Sam, in Pasuk Kavches. Look at the last Rashi in Kavches. Lo hayo lomar ela ish kirbechas al Beiracho So. Ma'atam lomar of Sam. Lubishanasan lihuda gvura sari lubinamin chatisov shal ze'ev, etc. Yochol shalokhlan kulam, bechol abrachos. All of them received all the brachos. In other words, all of the brothers received all of the brachos, just each of the brothers got his particular bracha a little stronger. So it's not true that, oh, Yaakov only gave a bracha to some and gave others, he gave Musar. He gave brachos to everyone. All the brothers got all the midos. And then beyond all the brothers getting all the special brachos of midos, some of the brothers got a special bracha of their midah, and some of the brothers got some Musar as well. That's an important Rashi, that Yaakov gave all the brachas to all the sons. That's what Rashi says, Mefurish, in Pasuk Kaf Ches. Okay, then it says, and Yaakov dies. The Torah never says Yaakov dies. So that's why the Gemara says, look at the last Rashi in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Lam Gimel Vayigvai Vayosef, Umisa Lenem Rabo, Vamru Chazal, Yaakov Inu Lomes, Yaakov never died. The Gemara says, and Yaakov never died. The Gemara says, Yaakov never died, but he was embalmed, and he was buried. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk that Ma Zaro B'chaim, Av Hu B'chaim. Just like his descendants are alive, it's like he's alive. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is, the simplest pshat of the Gemara is that when your descendants are alive and keep on going in your path of Vodas Hashem, it's like you never died. So even though Yaakov physically died, he physically was embalmed, but it's like he never died because his descendants are still alive. Why Yaakov more than the other Avos? All of the Avos symbolize that idea of the Masorah? That's a good question. So you can check out Oral in the Sivasi, or From Mitzrayim to Mashiach, or I don't know where it is. It's in all of them. Anyway, it's in all of them somewhere. There are a lot of interesting pshatim, but I have a pshat there based on Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. Oh, again, the idea of nevuah. So the brothers carry Yaakov's body. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayisu aso benav arza kanan vaygru aso marasei machpela. They carry his body. Now it says his children carried him, not his grandchildren. It's interesting. Rashi noticed that. Look in Pasuk Perek Nun Pasuk Yud Gimel. What that? Why the kids, not the grandchildren? So Rashi says again, it was all part of the nevuah. Yaakov told them how to carry his body around him, three on each side, because that's a siman lebanim, how they're going to go around the what? The what? The Mishkan. So, and Yosef was a king, he didn't carry, so his kids Menashe and Levi didn't, because they were the ones, they're going to carry the Aron. So Rashi says that the reason why it was the kids, Yaakov said, I want the kids, not the grandkids, to carry me. Because the way you carry me is going to be the way that the Shvatim travel and sort of bring the Mishkan through the Midbar. So again, everything happening here has impact thousands of years later. That's Rashi and Pasuk Yud Gimel of the Rashi and Pasuk Yud Gimel. All right, this idea that Yaakov never died, just to say it briefly. This is what the whole year is about. The year is about being involved in the Masorah. Yaakov taught his kids Torah. Who else did Yaakov teach Torah to? His grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim. For 17 years, he was their main Rebbe in Mitzrayim. And what does Yaakov say about his grandkids? Menashe b'Ephraim ki? Ruvon b'Shimon Yuli. Shimon Yuli. Amazing. Yaakov makes them into his own kids. What a line. Yaakov makes them into his own children. So this is the famous idea that the Rav Soloveitchik developed. The idea of when you're an old man, it's sometimes hard to bridge the generation gap and connect with your grandchildren. And Yaakov did it. So Yaakov was able to bridge the generation gap and become the Baal Masorah of his grandchildren as well. And the Rav describes that, how he felt the same way. Did we listen to the tape yet? No. To the tape yet? Okay, so we have to listen. Bleneder will listen this week. Today we don't have time. We have other things to do. Bleneder will listen to that tape. This is where the Rav spoke about the idea of the Masorah and passing on the Masorah to one generation, to two generations. And when you're in the Masorah, it's like you never die because everything keeps on living on. It's a very important idea. This week's Parsha describes Yaakov's death. What's the name of the Parsha? Vayichi, oh, that's not bad. Chayisara, and Yaakov lives.
They're sitting
all that.
That's what happened. For them, it's not.
Yeah?
That is.
Why is it
called
Chayisara?
She dies.
Yeah, I see.
They were sitting all
that. Vayishiv, okay, very good. And Vayichi, and Yaakov lived. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll stop here.
Okay.
We're stopping perfectly right here.